भगवतो अरहतो सम्मः सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मः सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मः सम्बुद्धस्स. Okay, today I would like to share with you a discourse from Sanyutta Nikaya, Connected Discourses on Causation, Nidana Sanyutta, Sutta number 63, The Sun's Flesh. Okay, the sutta starts at Savatthi, Bhikkhus. There are these four kinds of nutriment for the maintenance of beings that have already come to be and for the assistance of those about to come to be. Who are the those about to come to be? Those still in mother's womb, those still inside the eggs, they have not yet come out to this world, is called those about to come to be. What are the four? The nutriment, edible food, gross or subtle. Second, contact. Third, mental volition. Fourth, consciousness. So these are the four nutriments for the maintenance of beings that have already come to be and for the assistance of those about to come to be. Let us understand first the meaning of nutriment, ahara. In Pali, nutriment, ahara, has the meaning of condition, pachaya, because conditions carry their own results. What are the results they carry? As I go on, you will come to understand. Here a question may be raised. If the meaning of nutriment is that of condition, why are only four of them mentioned here? Why not six? Why not eight? There are so many other important factors like craving and so on. Why all these are not mentioned, but only these four? What are the four? Edible food, contact, mental volition, and consciousness. So why are these four mentioned here? The reply is because these four are prominent conditions for the individual life continuity. For beings' life to be continued, these four are prominent conditions. For beings living on material food, edible food is an important condition for their physical organism. For example, for human beings, animals, our life depends on food. Without food, for example, for a month, 2 months, without taking any food, our body will die. Similarly, for the animals. So for beings living on material food, food is very important condition for the growth of the physical body. But for beings in immaterial world, or material world, Brahma, who live depend on the jhana, the food is not important for them. They don't take any food. But for human beings and animals, yes. Our life depend on our body, depend on food. That's why food becomes one of the nutrients. As to their mental organism, for those beings who have mental organism, namakaya, contact or sense impressions, is an important condition of feeling. Because of contact, feeling arises. So without contact, no feeling. And feeling is so important for our mental happiness. In fact, all sentient beings are chased after pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling satisfies craving. Therefore, this contact is very important condition for the arising of feelings, and feeling satisfy craving. And mental number third, mental volition is an important condition for consciousness to arise. Mental volitions mean all our karma, mental karma. All our mental karma is very important for consciousness to arise. Without consciousness, we are like banana stand, no feeling, no thinking at all. So to have consciousness, we need this mental volition, wanting to act, wanting to do, the will to do something. This is called mental volition. Once you have the will to do something, then the consciousness will arise. And with the arising of consciousness, the life is sustained. Number fourth, and consciousness itself is an important condition of mind and body, nama rupa. With the arising of consciousness, mind and body arises according to dependent origination. For example, with the arising, I want to go. Then the desire, which is nama, and the physical body, wind element, will move forward. So with the arising of consciousness, desire, which is mental factors, and the wind element, which move forward, is rupa. Therefore, consciousness is an important condition of mind and body. This is not an easy subject, so you have to listen very attentively and carefully. And Buddha said, just as this body subsists on nutriment, subsists because of nutriment, does not subsist without nutriment. In the same way, O monks, are feelings conditioned by sense impressions or contact? Is consciousness conditioned by karma formations? Is mind and body conditioned by consciousness? Let us understand again these four nutriments, since it's so important. So what are the four? Let us read together. Edible food, contact, mental volition, consciousness. What is it now that is fed or conditioned by each of the four nutriments? Edible food fits and conditions the set of material qualities that have nutritive actions as their eight factor. I'm sure you don't understand, because this is Abhidhamma theory. Nutritive action as their eight factor, according to Abhidhamma, our materiality is made up by kalapa, rupa kalapa, or particles. Each particle has eight elements. What are the eight? Earth element, water element, fire element, wind element, and color, vanna, color, smell, ganda, rasa, taste, and the last one, nutritive accent. Therefore, here we call it nutritive accent as their eight factor. So edible food fits and condition the materiality. For simple saying, if we can put aside Abhidhamma, then we can say the edible food fits and condition our body. That's all. And the nutriment sense impression or contact fits and condition the three kinds of feeling. What are the three kinds of feeling? Pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. You see, we keep on repeating the same thing so that you can understand first before I go forward. And the nutriment mental volitions fits and condition the three spheres of existence. Mental volition, including karma, mental volition or all formations, fits and condition the three spheres of existence. What are the three spheres of existence? We live in the sphere of existence. The top one is immaterial existence. The beings who stay in immaterial existence have no body at all, only mind. So this type of being, no need to eat food. And the second sphere of existence is called fine material. This type of being got body, but also no need to eat food. And last one, the lowest one, is called sense sphere existence. Sense sphere existence, including human beings, hungry ghosts, devas, hell beings, animals, and so on. All these beings, why they exist? Because of mental volition. So mental volition fits and condition them to reborn in respective existence according to their karma. Another word, sense sphere karma. Bring being to reborn in sense sphere existence. Jhana, rupa, material jhana, the karma, if one attain jhana. So this jhana, first jhana up to fourth jhana, bring a person to be reborn in five material sphere of existence. And lastly, immaterial jhana. When one attain immaterial jhana and pass away, and this karma will send a person to top one, immaterial sphere of existence. Therefore, it is said the nutriment mental volition feeds and conditions the three sphere of existence. And the nutriment consciousness feeds and conditions mind and body at rebirth. When there's rebirth consciousness, our first consciousness coming into existence is called rebirth consciousness. So with rebirth consciousness, mind and body arise. Therefore, consciousness conditions mind and body at rebirth. Okay? Then, in the text, the sun's flesh, Buddha continued to say, and how, bhikkhus, should the nutriment edible food be seen or be comprehended? Suppose a couple, husband and wife, had taken limited food and were traveling through a desert. They have with them their only son, dear and beloved. Then, in the middle of the desert, their limited food would be used up and exhausted, while the rest of the desert remains to be crossed. The husband and wife would think, our limited food have been used up and exhausted, while the rest of this desert remains to be crossed. Let us kill our only son, dear and beloved, and prepare dry and roasted meat. By eating our son's flesh, we can cross the rest of this desert. Let not all three of us perish. So this wife and husband would kill her beloved son and dry their son's flesh, become roasted meat. So when I first time give this talk in Ohio, USA, and one of my audience said that, why Buddha give such cruel example? When he give his comment to me, from that time onward, I never give this talk until now. So I would like to explain to you why Buddha give such a cruel example. Then bhikkhus, the husband and wife would kill their only son, dear and beloved, prepare dry and roasted meat, and by eating their son's flesh, they would cross the rest of the desert. While they are eating their son's flesh, they would beat their breast and cry, where are you, our only son? Where are you, our only son? After killing only us, where are you? That's not necessary to ask anymore. What do you think, bhikkhus? Would they eat that food for amusement or for enjoyment? Or for the sake of physical beauty and attractiveness? This is the main purpose why Buddha gives such example, cruel example. No, Venerable Sir. So Buddha asked, when this couple of wife and husband, when they eat their beloved son's flesh, do they eat that for amusement? No. For enjoyment? Of course, no. Or for the sake of physical beauty? No. Or for attractiveness? No. Wouldn't they eat that food only for the sake of crossing the desert? Yes, Venerable Sir. Therefore, Buddha said, Buddha give this example, this talk is not given to lay person. This talk is given to monks. Why Buddha give such example? Because at that time, there are many new ordained monks. And at that time, many monks are well supported by the lay people. So they get a lot of nutriment and very rich food. And Buddha, using his psychic power, seeing those monks enjoy the food too much. They enjoy too much the food without due reflection. They take the food with greed and attachment. So Buddha want to teach them a lesson, to ask them to get rid of the attachment and greed for the food. Therefore, he gives such example. The main purpose is taking this food is not for enjoyment, not for amusement, but to for this wife and husband is to cross the desert, but for the monk. For the monk, they have to contemplate the food, just you contemplate this before lunch. Because when you are coming to retreat, you are behaving like a monk. Therefore, you need to contemplate the food. Furthermore, your food is supported by others. You do not pay for it. Therefore, you cannot enjoy it. You cannot enjoy it with greed and attachment. So for a monk, before taking the food, they have to contemplate. This is compulsory. How they contemplate? Reflecting wisely, I partake this food not for play, not for pride, not for beauty, not for fattening. But now, today, we didn't eat food for fattening. Yeah? We eat food for losing weight, not for fattening. Yeah? Nowadays and before ancient time, it's very different. Yeah? But merely for the sustenance and continuance of this body. Because edible food sustains our body. Without food, we cannot survive. So the purpose is for sustenance and continuance of this body. And to ease the discomfort. Without taking food, we feel hungry. There is lots of discomfort. When there's discomfort, we cannot practice well. We cannot gain concentration. Therefore, to ease the discomfort due to hunger, and to practice the holy life. So what's the purpose? To take the food. So for the sustenance of this body, the first reason. Second, to ease the discomfort. Otherwise, if we starve from hunger, we cannot meditate. And the third one, to practice the teaching of the Buddha. Because now you are the yogi. You come here is to practice the teaching of the Buddha. And for monk is to practice the holy life as monk. So while eating food, the monk have to reflect in this way. And thinking thus, I will destroy all feelings of hunger and not create new feelings from overeating. If you eat without reflection, without knowing a measurement, then after that overeating, then you create new unpleasant feeling. Instead of ease the discomfort, you create new discomfort owing to overeating. So thus, I will destroy all feelings of hunger and not create new feelings from overeating. I will maintain myself. Be blameless. People won't blame you. How people blame you? Overeating, then lie on a bed. 2 o'clock, people start meditating, you still snoring. You continue snoring because overeating, you cannot get up from the bed. Therefore, you are blameworthy. Your action is blameworthy, not blameless. And live in comfort. Moderate in eating. It's one of the factors for the enlightenment, moderate in eating. Therefore, as a yogi and a monk, we always have food contemplation before breakfast and lunch so that we will know the limit of taking food. Another way, while taking food, because food is so important, it's one of the 4 nutriments to sustain the growth of the body. You cannot live without taking the food. But food also can cause lots of attachment, greed, and overeating cause the health problem. Overeating is become also one of the problem now. So in order to get rid of attachment and greed for food, there's another contemplation we call contemplation on the loathsome aspects of food. A monk takes edible food, reflecting on the repulsiveness of the food. How he do it? There are 9 aspects of repulsiveness of food. But today I'm not going to talk all the 9 aspects. Huh? Let's go few aspects. First, having to go out on arms round. Here, as a yogi, you don't have problem. When time comes, you just go to dining hall and everything is ready for you. But in the ancient time, all monks have to go arms round. And sometimes they stay in the deep in the forest. To go out to get arms round, they have to walk barefoot, maybe 2 or 3 hours. So first you have to think, to get this food. And during ancient time, most monks take 1 meal a day. Because so difficult to get the food, how to take 2 meals a day? If you take 2 meals after breakfast, then finish, go out again, get ready for lunch. It's so troublesome. And all your time are spent in baking food. Therefore, during Buddha's time, one meal a day. Even 1 meal a day, when you think of go out to get food, you have to walk barefoot 2 hours, sometimes raining, then your attachment and desire for the food gone. No more attachment and desire for the food. And secondly, of having to search for alms food. When you go out, doesn't mean that you can get the food. You have to search for the food again. Sometimes you get nothing. No one offer you food. And in one of the Thai monks, two Thai monks, when they went out for searching for food, they come to one village, very poor village. And the monk stand outside one of the house and they ask, "Can you give me some food? We are very hungry." Usually monk don't ask. They stand in front of a house. But not everyone understand. Why you stand in front of my house? If they are not Buddhist, they don't understand. This monk is coming for, arms round. Therefore, the monk have to speak out. Say that we are very hungry. Can you give me some food? And when these 2 Thai monks standing in front of the house, of a poor house, and ask for the food, and the layman say that we have cooked food, but this cooked food is for my family members. And the uncooked rice, you have to buy. Ask the monk to buy it, to buy the uncooked rice. And later on, and this man, the layman, saw the monk's bowl. And they said that, "Your bowl is very nice. How much is it? Can I buy your bowl?" Instead of giving them food, they're asking for the exchange of the bowl. So the monk said, "Sorry, they have to leave." So then they go to another house and getting only rice. Only white rice. Without salt. No curry at all, no dishes, only white rice without salt. You want to know how it tastes, then tomorrow you try. Eat rice without any dishes and without salt. One day okay. Second day, third day, fourth day, no more appetite to eat. So a monk reflect, having to search food is suffering, having to search for the alms food. This is the second aspect. And the third aspect of the partaking of the food. Partaking of the food is also full of suffering. People enjoy food because they don't reflect. They eat with a lot of greed and attachment. They do not reflect, therefore, that cause greed to arise. But if you partake or you take your food with reflection, you will feel that taking food is so burdensome. How it turns out to be burdensome? Let's see. Now I'm going to teach you how to eat with mindfulness using 4 elements meditation. today I have shared with you already how to eat, how to walk with four elements. Now I'm going to share with you how to eat your food using four elements meditations. Okay, first, you take the food, put inside into your mouth. The food touch the tongue. You will feel hot. Usually hot. The food still hot. So when you feel hot, you contemplate fire element, fire element, fire element. Then you start chewing, right? Chewing. So your teeth is moving. What is this element? Wind element. Then you start to note wind element, wind element, wind element. So when you chew, the food becomes softer, right? Becomes smooth. Some become softer. Smooth and soft is what element? Earth element. So you start to note earth element, earth element. So after chewing for some times, you will feel your saliva start to flow inside your mouth. For some yogis or for many people, they don't wait until saliva to flow out and they already swallow. Right? They don't even know saliva is flowing inside the mouth. They already swallow. Why they eat in such a hurry? Why? Why you all eat in such a hurry? Why? Greed. Attachment. Greed. Mostly because of greed. We quickly swallow in order to take a second mouthful. But this time, as a practicing yogi, no, you should not behave like that. Okay? You chew, chewing, 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 at the same time, aware of the wind element. Then you will see the saliva start to flow. Your whole mouth is full of water at that time. So at that time, you will see the flowing of the saliva, which is what element? Water element. Water element is very difficult to discern during walking meditation. Therefore, this morning, I didn't teach you water element. But now, during food, you have plenty of chance to experience water element. So you chew until saliva start to flow, then you contemplate. This is the only chance which is very clearly you can discern water element by way of flowing of your saliva. So you start to listen, flowing, water element, water element, water element. And after that, what to do? You have to swallow, right? Otherwise, how to eat, how to take another second mouthful of food? So while swallowing, there's a pushing, right? Pushing, which is wind element. So you contemplate wind element, wind element. Again and again. Then the second mouthful, again and again. Sometimes water, sometimes earth, sometimes wind. It depends on how you feel it. Then you contemplate according to the characteristic, whether it's earth element, water element, or wind element. When you take in this way, when you take the food in the way I teach you, after 10 minutes or 30 minutes or 20 minutes, you will feel so, burdensome. So burdensome to eat food. You will cut down the amount of the food because it's so burdensome. And this is called one of the aspects of loathsome. One of the loathsome aspects of food. Please practice it tomorrow. Don't let the teaching go through your right ear and come out through left ear. Keep it in your mind and put into practice. Okay? So this is the third one. And the fourth loathsome aspect of food is repulsiveness or the bodily secretion. Once you have taken the food, The food go inside the stomach, then the digesting process will create. And the food before the stomach digests the food looks very nice. But after digesting or undigested food come out from the stomach, it becomes so repulsive, right? Therefore, most people go inside toilet with sour face, or come out from toilet with never smiling face. Why? Simply because it's so smelling. Therefore, we eat with smiling face when pass motion with sour face. This is also one of the loathsome aspects of food. And another one is undigested condition in the stomach. Not all the foods are digested. Some are undigested and it creates a lot of what? Gas in the stomach. The food becomes fermented in the stomach and produce gas. So when this gas either come out from the mouth or come out from below part of the body, it causes lots of bad smell. So you reflect the loathsome aspect of food. That is enough for you to lose interest in the food. As I go on tomorrow, you don't want to eat anymore. Okay. But lastly, if you still cannot get, you still cannot feel the loathsome aspect of food, tomorrow you can try put the food inside the mouth and chewing wind element before you swallow. If you want to see the loathsome aspect of food, you can spit out into your plate again. Your own plate. Then you see you want to take again or not. If you don't want to take again, even you, your own saliva, before you swallow, you spit out, you also don't want to take again. How about others when they see you spit out the food on your plates? So this is also another loathsome aspect of food. Try. So the food should be comprehended by way of three kinds of comprehension. What are the three kinds of comprehension? The first is comprehension as the known. Second, comprehension as investigating. Third, comprehension as abandoning. Now we are going to Vipassana meditation. As Buddha said, when the food should be comprehended. So comprehended in what way? Comprehended through three ways. Number one is comprehension as the known. I think that's all for today. Tomorrow I can continue because we need translation.